Be heard at ratethemusic.com.
WFAS News Time 603. Good evening. I'm Jim Cleefield, Westchester's top favorites, AM 1230. WFAS News, here's what's happening. Well, all's back to normal on Metro North's New Haven line after a brief security scare at the Rye train station this afternoon. Spokeswoman Marjorie Anders.
Someone spotted a suspicious package. It actually had wires sticking out of it, so it made people nervous. And in fact, the Westchester bomb squad came and removed it.
No word on exactly what was inside. Trains had to be stopped for several minutes. Blame it on a burning candle. That seems to be the cause behind a two-alarm fire in Yonkers that left four families homeless. The blaze broke out early this morning on Garfield Street. No injuries reported. The results are in. Westchester Elementary students did reasonably well on standardized tests, exceeding the state level as a whole. It comes from a report released by the Education Department. For the first time under the federal No Child Left Behind law, third through eighth graders took the test. It shows good results in English language arts, but the numbers decline for sixth through eighth graders. Gunfire in Mount Vernon. WFAS reporter Pam Puso tells us police have been searching for five men.
A 34-year-old Yonkers man is in stable condition after getting shot in the chest during an armed robbery around midnight. Two men who were leaving their boss's house were pummeled by a gang of men who made off with some money. The Yonkers man was shot with a small caliber handgun. The robbery happened in the area of West 1st Street and South 13th Avenue. I'm Pam Puso, AM 1230, WFAS News.
WFAS News Time 6:05. With a check of the ride home, we go back to Craig Shankman with WFAS Westchester Traffic.
287 GM got some slow volume, exit 9 to exit 7. Areas of sun glare 2 as you make your way from exit 5 to exit 3. Not bad at the tap and Z. Volume's moving well north despite the sun glare. Quiet both ways on 95. Hutch north, slow up by the cross county. Your update is brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, it's time for fall savings at your local Toyota dealer through September. A lube, oil and filter, tire inspection, brake and battery check is just $24.95. See participating dealers for details. And for check now on your forecast, let's check back in with meteorologist Tommy Ells.
We have another chilly summer night coming up, but warmer weather in store for the weekend. Tonight becoming mainly clear, 40 to 45. Partly sunny tomorrow, will reach close to 70. Becoming cloudy Friday night, mid-50s, not as cool. Saturday, morning clouds and a shower, maybe some late day clearing in the mid-70s. And Sunday, clouds return, breezy warm, 80 to 85, with showers and a thunderstorm by evening. From the WFAS Weather Center, this is meteorologist Tommy Ells.
Thank you, Tommy. Right now it is 62 degrees. I'm Bob Barnum. Back in about 30 minutes. Right now it is time for Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney on AM 1230 WFAS.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of Mind with Lipman Crooks.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, and welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney on this beautiful first day of fall 2006. We're with you right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week our special guest is Ruth Ahern, the Associate Director of Programs and Services for the Alzheimer's Association. Ruth, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
All right. I guess let's start with a basic question, a softball we'll call it, or what may appear to be one. But what is Alzheimer's, and is it different than dementia?
Well, that confuses a lot of people. Actually, dementia is like an umbrella term. It covers a lot of different causes of dementia. Dementia means that a person is declining in cognitive function. That's more than just memory. It means they're having other problems with thinking, and they're probably having some problems with functioning, writing checks, keeping track of things, keeping track of their calendar, so on. So there are lots of causes of dementia. There's vascular, like strokes. There's other diseases, like Parkinson's disease can sometimes lead to dementia. Huntington's disease almost always leads to dementia. But the biggie is Alzheimer's disease. And that's a very specific disease with a very specific pattern of brain damage to the neurons and the neurotransmitters in the brains. And the brain gets increasing damage. The damage spreads through the brain over time, usually starts with memory and then spreads to other functions, and the person gradually over time becomes less and less able to do things.
So does everyone who has Alzheimer's also have dementia?
Yes, eventually. Sometimes people with very early stage Alzheimer's disease will only have memory loss, but it's not even clear at that time what to call it. But once a person has Alzheimer's disease in a little more advanced stage, then it's going to be called dementia.
But not everyone who has dementia has Alzheimer's.
That's right. They could have other brain diseases, other causes as well.
And as I guess our listeners are concerned, as people get older and, you find yourself being a little bit more forgetful, forget where you put the car keys, or maybe you forget your daughter's telephone number, does that mean you ought to be worried about this?
Absolutely not. Normal aging involves a slight change in the way the brain functions, and we process things a little more slowly. Just because you can't remember somebody's name or phone number or where you put your keys is not a sign of dementia, and it's not a sign of Alzheimer's disease. But when people start having trouble remembering the names of their dear ones, when they start not being able to tell day from night, when they're not sure what a fork is for, then we're really talking about dementia.
Now, is there a test that somebody can take to tell whether or not they have it? Do they go to a neurologist? How does someone find out if they have it?
Well, there are different ways that are really essential. The first is to have a thorough physical and have a doctor rule out any possible medical conditions that might cause memory loss or confusion or disorientation. Sometimes people are depressed and they become more forgetful. Sometimes people have other metabolic disorders and they can be treated. So you need to have a thorough medical examination, and then you need to have a family history. You need to find out how a person used to function. They need to do lab tests and look at all your blood and urine tests and things like that and see whether everything is normal. And then if there's still an indication that there's a problem and we can't find an answer to it, a doctor may suggest that you see a neurologist and get some brain scans. They might start with an MRI to check for vascular disease, for little strokes or for brain tumors, and then they might suggest some other scans. But very often at that point, the doctors will say probable Alzheimer's. They also do a little thing called a mini mental exam where they ask 30 questions, pretty standard, and they test different kinds of memory and different kinds of thinking and different kinds of abilities. And if you score less than 30 on that, if you score less than 24, then they start to look for dementia as a cause and start to try to understand what's going on.
So basically it sounds like it's a process of elimination.
Yes, it's a rule-out disease. But the tests are now getting so skillful and doctors are getting so experienced that they can rule out everything else with a 90%, 95% accuracy.
So pretty much if they say you have it, you probably do.
Probably. Now, there are other kinds of dementias that look very much like Alzheimer's disease, but they may be a little different. You may have something that's called frontal temporal dementia, where you have maybe not so much memory loss, but more loss in terms of ability to think clearly about how to plan, how to organize your closet, where to put your papers, how to plan your day. They're learning to differentiate some of these different kinds of dementia, and that helps them be more specific about treatments.
And Ruth, tell me if you know, what types of questions are they asking on this mini mental exam?
Oh, they're going to ask you the year, who's the president, when you were born, where you lived. Then they're going to ask you some things which require a different type of thinking, like spelling a word backwards. And they're going to ask you probably to do a little backwards mathematics, like subtracting things and possibly multiplying things. And then they're going to ask you to do some physical things. Can you follow directions, like touch your finger to your nose and things like that?
So if somebody is in a family where their father and grandfather had it, is this something that is genetic, passed down from generation to generation?
Well, there are some forms of dementia, of Alzheimer's disease, that are probably hereditary, but there's also a great deal of randomness in this. So I think it's unfair. When we say that something is genetic, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's hereditary, because we all have genes which can mutate for various reasons and cause some of the triggers that may set off Alzheimer's disease, and it's a very complicated story. So yes, there's a slightly increased risk if you have a lot of family members with Alzheimer's disease, but that does not mean that you are going to have it.
If somebody was concerned enough, and I know we were speaking about this a little earlier today, somebody in their 30s or 40s who had a parent that had it and a grandparent and a great-grandparent, and there was just a tremendous amount of anxiety, is there a test they can take to see if they're likely to get it?
There are some tests which apparently are being used, and they seem to have some degree of accuracy. Probably as you get a little older, it's easier to be clear about it. But what are you going to do with that information? You may or may not get Alzheimer's disease, even if you have the risk factors. All they can do is, in a test, is tell you whether or not you have certain risk factors. And they're usually looking at certain genes, which you may or may not have in a certain form. But you may get to 85 or 90 and be perfectly intact, even with those risk factors.
So there's no drug or exercise routine or anything they can do other than ordinary lifestyle things that could, I guess, delay the onset or prevent it from happening?
Yes, but we think these lifestyle things are really pretty significant. The more research they're doing, the more they're looking at, for example, cardiovascular issues in midlife seem to indicate increase in cognitive problems later on. Also, diabetes is a risk factor. People need to think about exercising. The things that are healthy for your heart are healthy for your brain. So all the diet suggestions that we learn about healthy eating, living an active life, keeping involved with your community, keeping your mind active, learning something new whenever you get a chance, taking courses, doing puzzles, talking with people, socializing, even having a spiritual activity is actually a positive in terms of possibly delaying the onset.
Well, the good news is I learn something new every day. And I'm Bernie Crooks, founding partner of the law firm Littman Crooks, and our firm specializes in helping seniors and their families deal with legal issues of aging, including Alzheimer's disease and the related legal issues. And we're speaking with Ruth Ahern, the Associate Director of Programs and Services at the Hudson Valley, Rockland, Westchester, New York chapter. And we're going to be right back after this short break.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks, from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're speaking with Ruth Ahern, and we're talking about just a terrible, terrible disease, Alzheimer's disease. Just tell me a little bit, Ruth, about, you know, how much more do we need to learn about this disease before we can finally figure out a cure?
Oh, I think there's an awful lot that we don't know. They're doing amazing research in lots of areas. They're looking at all the neurons and the molecules in the brain and the neurotransmitters and the chemicals, and they're trying to figure out some of the things that are associated with Alzheimer's disease, but it's very complex. There are several things that are going on in the brain, and they have to track them all back to some kind of a cause or an origin, and this is very complicated. There is a lot of research going on at all levels, but so far we are at the point of having four medications which help to perhaps prolong earlier stages a little bit longer before a person's problem becomes more severe.
So right now, the drugs are not going to reverse the disease's course. They're simply maybe, if you're lucky, going to slow the progress?
Yes. They may keep you at a certain stage for a little bit longer. But they can't stop what's happening in the brain. All they can do is mask it. Like putting oil on something which isn't running very well makes it run a little more smoothly.
But it's not going to get it back to where it was beforehand.
It's not reversing anything. It's not stopping anything. It's not changing anything. It's just keeping it a little bit more efficient for a little bit longer.
That's got to be so frustrating for someone like you because, you know, in the cardiovascular field, they can make you as good as or better than new sometimes.
Yeah, well, brains are very complicated, and it's just, you know, everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel, imagine, even our wildest dreams are all chemically recorded in our brains.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So these researchers, are they independent, or privately financed, or are there government-funded programs that help out with this?
There's research all over the world. The National Institute of Health is the biggest funder in the United States, and they have projects all over the country in probably almost every major hospital. The Alzheimer's Association is a big funder. Also, they raise something like $20 million a year towards research, and they have dozens of projects all over the country. And all over the world. Every country of the world is working on this.
So with all this money being invested in it, all these smart scientists looking at it, we're still not close.
I can't tell you how close we are because I'm not a scientist, but it looks to me like we still have a lot of things to learn.
So the focus of the local chapter of the association is on the caregiver and the quality of life as opposed to finding a cure?
Caregivers have a terrible problem because they end up wearing themselves out in their lifetime, sometimes burning themselves out before the person with Alzheimer's disease. So they require a great deal of education and support from their families, from their friends, from their neighbors, from the community, from the resources that are available to help them get through the times that get tougher and tougher and tougher. It's not just the emotional toll, it's also the physical toll. The actual care becomes more and more time-consuming. Night and day get mixed up, and people with Alzheimer's disease may be awake at night, and the elderly caregiver or even a working daughter or son loses sleep. Their health starts to suffer. So what we try to do is support the caregivers as well as people with the disease, as well as professionals in the field who need help trying to deal with some of the manifestations, the behaviors, the complications of the disease.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're speaking with Ruth Ahern from the Alzheimer's Association. And Ruth, I'm wondering, how big a problem is this? I mean, how pervasive is Alzheimer's disease? How many people have it?
Well, we think that every 7 seconds, someone in the world develops dementia. This dementia is not necessarily going to be diagnosed, but this is the kind of a problem we're looking at. Right now, there are 4.5 million people who are in America alone with Alzheimer's disease. In 2050, which is when people who are now in their 30s are going to be in their 60s and 70s, we expect to have 13.5 or more million people with Alzheimer's disease. So it's a big problem.
I guess as the baby boomers start getting older, it's just going to multiply.
And they're going to live longer than their predecessors, and so the incidence of Alzheimer's is going to increase.
But this is not necessarily an old age person's problem. There are people in middle age or younger that have these issues.
Not commonly. the percentage of people 65 and over with Alzheimer's disease, the percentage of people who are in their 60s with Alzheimer's disease is very small, possibly 10% between 65 and 70. By the time you get up to 85, you may be looking at perhaps half the population with some early signs, at least, of Alzheimer's.
So it's possible that if you're under 65, you could have it, but it's not likely.
It's not likely, but we do see it. We do see people in their late 50s and 60s. And there are some rare, very rare forms of Alzheimer's disease which hit even younger, but we don't see that very often.
What are some of the typical risk factors?
Well, if you talk about risk factors, you're talking about age. And also women have a slightly higher incidence. We don't know why. People who have higher education levels, and again, they don't know why, seem to have a slightly lower risk of Alzheimer's disease. People who exercise can decrease their risk of Alzheimer's disease. People who take care of their health and stay active seem to have a lower risk. And family history is important. So if you have a lot of it in your family, you may have an increased risk.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're going to continue our discussion with Ruth Ahern from the Alzheimer's Association right after this brief message.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're having a very interesting conversation with Ruth Ahern, the Associate Director of Programs and Services for the Hudson Valley, Rockland, Westchester, New York chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And Ruth, it's been said that when someone has Alzheimer's disease, it's really not their disease on their own, but it really does affect the entire family. Is this true, and what do they mean by that?
Well, if you have somebody who's becoming forgetful and not able to take care of themselves, then clearly the family is going to be involved in trying to protect the person, keep them safe. People can, with Alzheimer's disease, can be become unsafe because they wander out of the house, because they don't remember to turn off the gas, because they don't remember to pay their bills on time. A lot of all the functions of daily life gradually become lost to the person with Alzheimer's disease. So who's going to take care of them? Families do. And families are taking care of huge numbers. Far more people are being cared for at home than are being cared for in residential facilities. So families are going to have to, some daughters and sons are giving up jobs or being compromised on their jobs. Spouses who are still working are not able to keep up working, or they have to hire somebody. The financial cost, if you can't do it yourself, and you cannot do it yourself at some point, you have to have help. It's a horrendous devastation to a family.
Are there support groups available?
There are support groups. Now, let's talk about what a support group is, because a lot of people don't know what that is. It seems a little like something scary. But what a support group is, people get together and they say, gee, you know, I have this problem. Did anybody have this problem? How did you solve it? Or they might say, I don't know where to look for somebody to help me with such and such, with dad's care or mom's finances, and they help each other. And that's what a support group is. They meet twice a month usually for an hour and a half, and they just share ideas. And, you know, if you talk to your neighbor, they don't want to hear. They don't get it. They say, oh, he's all right. He's just getting a little senile. But you need to talk to people who really are living it and they know what's going on and they share your frustrations and your anxieties and help each other.
Tell me about some of the activities of the chapter.
Well, we have some education programs that we do. You can call us at, the local number is 428-1919 and ask for education programs. We try to teach caregivers how to improve their ability to work with the person so that there's less friction and less aggravation and less agitation, and when things are calmer, everybody's life goes more smoothly. We try to help people understand what to expect. You need to get some information about some legal and financial issues that you need to plan ahead for, and that's where people like your attorneys come in very handy. We try to help professionals understand how to deal with the disease. We even have groups, education programs for people in the early stage of the disease so that they can learn, well, what's going to happen to me and what should I do? What do I need to think about? How do I plan?
Tell me about some of the advocacy efforts the chapter is involved in.
The chapter locally is working always to keep our congresspeople aware of the issues. Big issue for Alzheimer's disease is getting the funding for research so that we can keep looking for a cure. And there are other programs that we need to keep, and other issues that we need to keep our congresspeople aware of. For example, Medicare Part D was not paying for some of the Alzheimer's drugs, and with pressure they have started to pick up the ball and pay for these things. So we have to keep our representatives and our senators informed. And we need your help to do that, those of you who are interested, caring, concerned. We need you to support financially if you can through our memory walk. We just had one in Westchester. We're going to have one in Putnam. There's going to be one in New York City. There's one in every county in our chapter, which is 7 counties.
I'm Bernie Crooks speaking with Ruth Ahern from the Alzheimer's Association, and we're going to finish up our conversation right after this short break.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks, and we're speaking with Ruth Ahern. And Ruth, I'm sure we've just scratched the surface here about the information we're learning about Alzheimer's disease. Where can our listeners find out some more information?
So let me give you a hotline number. It's a 24-hour hotline. During the day, it rings into our White Plains office or our Poughkeepsie office, wherever you're calling from. It rings